You can keep your Bibles open to John chapter 10. Brother Jerry and I did not work this up prior. But I know from a few weeks ago when I was in John chapter 8, I know it brought a few or sparked some discussion anyway and some thought, and I'm glad of that. In John chapter 8, for those that believed on him, he later called them, or at least some that were standing by, being of their father the devil. I want us to remember that John, really the text, the context of this starts back in John 6, but the whole purpose of the Lord coming, and the context of this is Jesus being the light of the world. He says, I am the light. As long as you have the light, walk in the light, that you won't walk in darkness.
Right.
And then he goes, and I want us to remember, how many times did the Lord come in at the very beginning and say, I'm going to die for all of my people, and they're going to put me on a cross, and I'm going to save you. He didn't start his message out that way, did he? He started out, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Very broad, very general, with some action to be accompanied with it. And then little by little, the Lord reveals more about his person and his work. Right? We can see some of this many times when he was talking to the disciples, he revealed things to them a little bit at a time. And then at the end, more towards the end of his ministry, he became more plain and expounded more things unto them. And then after his resurrection, he explained all things to them and in those 40 days, and then just really talked to them very plain about what he had accomplished. Now, I kind of want to look at this in a general, broad, big view. So in John chapter 8, he continues to do this, and I want us to remember that at each time that the Lord spoke, there was a division among those that heard him. Remember that. And it begins, at least in this portion of scripture here, in John 8, where there were those that started and they brought the adulterous woman to him, and then they left because they were convicted in their own conscience. And so that was a division. Then there were some others there, and the more he talked, the more they were divided. So, it seems to me that the more the Lord talked and the more he expounded, the more people believed on him. And after this, we've got chapter 9. And after chapter 8, we've got chapter 9. And then he says, this is the account of when he healed the man that was born blind. And his parents, for fear of being put out of the synagogue, they brought him to the Pharisees, and they said that this man, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And they brought him to the Pharisees that aforetime was blind. Now get this. the Lord healed this man of his blindness that was born blind, and those that you're always going to have an instigator in the bunch. Always. Somebody who fuels the fire, right? So these people, they bring this man that was healed of his blindness, and they bring him to the Pharisees. And they say, look at this man. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. This is in verse 14 and 15. And then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay on mine eyes and I washed and do see. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? And they go on and they question, they ask the same question in a bunch of different ways about five or six times. And the simple man, the man that was born blind, that the Lord healed, they asked him again, how do you know? You know, this man's a sinner. He says, whether he's a sinner or no, all I know is that when I once was blind, but now I see. That's all. That's the simplicity of Christ. When He heals you, you might not know exactly how it happens. I'm talking about when He regenerates you and when He lets you, when He opens your eyes and you can see Him. You don't know all about Christ. I don't know all about Christ, but I can say this beyond a shadow of a doubt that I once was blind, but now I see. And so He causes the simple to be wise, the Bible says, and He causes the wise to be simple. The wise to be simple, that they're wise in their own understanding. But someone who says, I don't know how it happened. All I know is I'm a changed man, and I know I didn't do it. I know Jesus did. He had to have done it because everybody else tried and failed. And so then there was a division among them, and then these Pharisees keep on saying, will ye also be his disciples? He's a sinner. He says, this is in verse 27, he answered them, I have told you already and you didn't hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Meaning, are you going to follow him? I mean, there's nothing I could say to make you follow him. And friends, there's people today that there's nothing you can say to them to make them follow Christ. They're just not going to do it until He opens their eyes. Until He heals them. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul when he was on the, or Saul, when he was on the road to Damascus, and he saw in two different accounts, he said, I heard a voice, and another one said, I saw a light shine around me. And I can tell you that the people that were around him, they didn't see that light. It would have blinded them too. They didn't hear that voice. Although they heard a muffled voice, they didn't hear the voice. They heard someone talking, but it wasn't speaking to them. So they weren't regenerated when Paul was. Because he speaks to every one of us individually. So then he comes on and he says, we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered, the man that was healed, answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. He doesn't need someone to usher him in. He doesn't need a mediator between him and you. He doesn't need someone to come and a preacher to come and do it. He doesn't need something else to come and do it. The Lord comes in on His own time, by His own power, and His own authority.
Right.
So He says, it's a marvelous thing that you don't know whence He is, and yet He hath opened mine eyes. He didn't need someone to administrate it for Him. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. That's the blind man talking. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. I want you to get the attitude, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Cast him out of the synagogue. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. I want us to remember that this is talking about an attitude. How many times did the Lord take a Pharisee and propose something that needed a judgment? When he took Simon, when the woman came in, Mary Magdalene, I suppose it was Mary Magdalene, the sinning woman anyway, came in and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with the hair of her head. You remember that when he was at Simon the Pharisee's house? And he said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He said, there was a debtor that had one owed 50 and one owed 500 pence, and he frankly forgave them both. Which one would therefore love him the most? And he said, the one that would love him the most is the one that he forgave the most. And he says, that's right. Thou hast rightly judged. Hey, many times the Lord posed a judgment or put a judgment case before them and asked them to judge, and they were able to judge it rightly, but they could not apply the judgment to themselves. This is the attitude of seeing versus blindness. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Right? Jesus did not come to heal those that were well. He came to heal those that were sick. And this is the attitude of these people. They says, if you said we were blind, then you'd be made whole. He says, but you, I came that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Just the very fact that they asked the question answered. Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. You see, that's the attitude of someone that is not going to follow Jesus, or that is not following Jesus. That they got it all figured out. That they don't, that their sins don't apply to them, but they can see everybody else's. Mote and Bean comes to mind. Friends, we need to be real careful how we are looking at other people. I need to be careful how I look at other people and how I judge other people. You see, this division. Did John know that the Pharisees and scribes and all them were with Jesus at the beginning? When he was doing his miracles, and being gracious, they were with him. They were right lockstep with him until the day that the Lord was in the house and they tore the roof off and let down on his bed the man that was sick with the palsy. Do you know what the turning point was? Is when he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." That was the turning point when the division began. And they said, "Who is this man that can forgive sins also?" And the Lord said, "If you say, which is easier to say, take up that better walk and walk, or thy sins be forgiven thee?" The Lord could say anything he wanted to, and it wouldn't, one of them wouldn't be harder than the other one. He says, "Take up your bed and walk." And he did. That was when the division started. And then he starts chapter 10. And I won't take time to read it. Brother Jerry already read it this morning. But he talks about the sheepfold. And he talks about thieves and robbers. And he talks about a hireling. And he talks about the shepherd. He talks about a door. And he says, "I am the door of the sheep." He says, and I go in. And he says, "To him," meaning himself, "the porter openeth." That means for his, not he was his person, but his work. God made it possible for him to do it. And when it comes to us personally, there's no he enters in by his own power and his own authority and by the Spirit. If you want to get technical about it, the Spirit is the one, I guess, that opens the door and the Lord comes in. Because the Spirit regenerates us, right? And the Lord is, he's not only went in that door, he is the door. He says, if any man, I want us to, and I've thought about this a lot, I've thought about a field with sheep in it, and it's got a fence around it, but there's a gate. There's one gate. And that gate is the door, and that door is opened, and the shepherd goes in. He gathers up his sheep. Now, as with any fences, you got, and Ray, I was in a cow pasture yesterday that had fence all the way around it. And way on the back 40 where you might not be able to see, there may be breaches in the fences, or that's where people that like to trespass, they like to travel. They like to get in the pasture where nobody can see them. People that are trespassing are thieves and robbers. They're where they're not supposed to be. And the Lord said, all them that came before me, you know, there were many people that said, "I am the Christ." I mean, the Bible speaks of people that said, you know, when Gamaliel said, they came, this man come in professing and drew some of the people away with him. He said, and that came to naught. He said, if this man, he said, let's leave him alone. Let's leave him alone. If it's not a God, it's going to come to naught. So, Jesus says that all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. And I take that to mean that there were some that came before him that professed to be the Christ. And they were not. And there were thieves and robbers. Why? Because they did not enter in by the door. Because they were not the door. They tried to come up some other way. And I've thought about this in terms of, I like to think in terms of allegories and metaphors and things like that, because the Lord used them a lot. Parables. And I thought about the hireling. What's the hireling? I mean, I don't think I'm a hireling. I'd like to think that I cared for the sheep, but a hireling doesn't care for the sheep, does it? Jesus said he did. He's just hired to do a job. And I've thought about this many times, and I think that what he's talking about, particularly possibly in this place, when the hireling is the law, that they were meant to keep the sheep, to give them a bar to set their lives for, even though they weren't able to keep it. And that thing is almost like, the law is a herdsman almost, isn't it? It kind of herds you up and say, here's the fence. Don't go past that fence. There's danger past the fence. But that law don't care for the sheep. You get up next to that fence and it's going to rub you wrong. And you're going to get tangled up in it. But the Lord said, I ain't that way. Law don't, that fence don't care whether you rub up against it or never even look at it. It's just there. Just like the law. Follow it, things are going to be good. Don't follow it, it's going to turn out bad for you. My grandfather was a cowboy. Mama likes to tell this story. He didn't tell it but once to her. He didn't want to talk to any of his kids about herding cattle and breaking horses, taking them from Mexico to Missouri or wherever he did on them. He took them by himself and had to break them all by the time he got to Mexico. But he said he was by himself and taking about 50 horses and had to have them all broke by the time he got down there. Now imagine that. So he said he was traveling and a horse got up on a barbed wire fence, which was a new thing, and it gashed his leg real bad. And he had to doctor that and still break them, and he did it. And he didn't die. He didn't bleed to death, which is amazing. But my point is, you don't know that law. You don't know that fence. If you don't know that fence, you don't know where it's at. But if you get up against it, it's still going to rub you the wrong way. Because the fence don't care. That hireling doesn't care for the sheep, but Jesus cares for the sheep. He cares that they're hurt. And the law couldn't save. The law wouldn't give them any pasture. You know that man, I went yesterday to the cow pasture and I looked at one field. And it was nice and plush. And that the other field was eaten down where the cows had been all winter. Eat that grass down and it was just to a nubbin. And he says, I've got to take them and put them in some more pasture. And then he had a bunch of gates out there and a bunch of different pastures. That fence isn't going to take them out. He's going to go in there, and when he opens that gate and starts hollering at them cows, they come a-running. I seen them yesterday. He put them in a different pasture, and I watched him, a 90-year-old man out there. When they saw him, they were looking for him too. He gets out to that gate, and he opens the gate, and he starts to holler at them. And they come, here they come. They know his voice. And they follow him. And he led them into a different pasture. Did you know the Lord does that for us? Did you know he leads us and we hear his voice? All the other people that came were thieves and robbers. And when they spoke and they said, I'm Christ, or I've got the answer, sheep didn't hear that. Because have you ever heard somebody say something and you said, that ain't just right. I don't know about that. Same thing. Same reason that people, when I've talked to several different people, not because of me, but it's because of the truth of the Bible. When I go to other places and preach, and the Lord blesses me to preach, and I'm able to expound the power of God in election and Him saving His people without the aid of any by His own authority and power, and the people, when they're under the sound of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, their hearts rejoice because they know it's right. They know it's right. And the extent to which the sheep follow Him seems to be the hinge point that none of us know. The thief on the cross never followed Him while He was alive. I mean, walking around. But you know what? He followed Him there at the end, didn't He? And you know something else? On the last day, when the voice of God with power causes all of them to come out of the grave, every one of His sheep is going to follow Him. They're going to follow Him in perfection. The extent to which the sheep follow Him right now, I don't know. But they will follow Him. I know this for sure. Every one of the sheep are going to follow Him in regeneration. That's irresistible. They can't resist the power of God. Just like Lazarus couldn't resist the power of God when He told him to come forth, which is the very next chapter. He says, they follow Me. They hear My voice and they know it. And they follow Me. Lazarus followed Him in one resurrection, and he's going to follow Him the second time.
Right.
He says in verse 17, therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. You see, He did that willingly. He didn't do it under duress. He didn't do it by constraint. He didn't do it against His will. He wasn't scared to do it. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of My Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye Him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem at the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, how long dost Thou make us to doubt? If Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. How much plainer do you want Him to get? He's already told them. He's fixing to tell them. I told you already. I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me. I've already told you. I've shown you by the things that I do, by the Scriptures prophesying about the things that I do, have I told you. And not only that, I've told you in other ways. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Friends, there's something that I'm going to stand on. I don't know who's a sheep or not. I don't know the extent to which someone is going to follow the Lord. But Jesus Christ knows His sheep. And He told them they weren't sheep. I take that to mean that there are some goats out there. And I know that there are. He says, you're not following me because you're not of my sheep. Now, being of your father the devil may be a little bit ambiguous. You may go so far as to say, well, they're just acting consistent with the father of lies. All of us do it. All of us lie, so when we lie, we could be said to be of our father the devil too, right? But the Lord further distinguishes this particular group, and He says, He gives them greater revelation. He reveals something more clearly and definitively here when He says, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. There's a bunch of sheep out there that don't believe or believe in portions or follow in portions, but they're of His sheep. These people are not. I didn't say that. If you're going to get mad at Jesus for saying it. He's pretty... This is as strong, and I'm standing on this. I'm standing on this. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. You see, if He would have said, I give unto them good life down here on earth, I'd be willing to maybe entertain the thought that these might be children of God, possibly. But since the Lord had eternal life under consideration, these ain't His sheep. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you know what that is? That's eternal security in the power of God. Amen. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Not only are you in the hand of Christ, but Christ is in the hand of God. How can you get in there? You can't. You can't. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. It shouldn't surprise us that goats would stone the Lord. It wouldn't surprise me, and there are some people that railed on Him, that stopped railing on Him. There are some people that were present. I have to think that there were some people that were present at this time that when the Lord was resurrected and on the day of Pentecost, these people that with wicked hands took and slew the Lord were born again. They were born again. I don't know which group, but some of them, because there was a division. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? You know, when you always do good, you always have a defense. You always have a rebuttal. You always have a very meek and powerful way to answer your adversaries. What have I done for you to kill me? because it's because of all the good stuff that I've done? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, makest thou thyself God. And then he goes on in verse 39, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away beyond Jordan unto the place where John first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but in all things, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. And the divisions continue. If you take one group that is divided and then some are with him and some are not, and then you take more time, more days, more explainings, more judgments, and more things, and then this group that didn't believe on him, some believed, and there was a division again. So this ones that didn't believe is getting smaller. The ones that did is getting bigger. Why did they do that? Why did the Pharisees rail against him so? Why were they so adamant to kill him for a good work? They said it was because blasphemy. But John writes the real reason towards the end of chapter 11. After the account of Lazarus. Or verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Wow. They didn't before, but they did now. A further division. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. There's that group again. The instigators, the ones that just like to stir stuff up. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, and all men will believe on him, here it is, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. They were more concerned about their job and their authority than they were the sheep. They weren't concerned about God. They were concerned about themselves. And one of them named Caiaphas, being a high priest that same year, said unto them all, ye know nothing at all. This is intriguing to me. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this, he's talking about Jesus. And this spake he not of himself. That means that he didn't come up with this on his own. But being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. The Lord put a prophecy in his mouth, and he wasn't God's man. I I mean, this is just like Balak, the prophet, the first prophet. Balaam wanted him to prophesy against Israel, and he went out to go look and see about them, and he came back and he says, "Hey, I got to tell you what God said." He said, "I can't tell you either way." He said, "This is what God said." And he was Balaam's friend. Didn't have any reason to prophesy on the side of Israel. He didn't like it. But he couldn't help it. Caiaphas didn't know what he was saying. It wasn't of himself. So he says, "And not for that nation only, but that he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." Great is the mystery of wickedness. They took counsel to put him to death. And I want to tell you today that the divisions continue, don't they? I see today a more definite line of separation between people that believe in God and people that don't. Do you? When you meet somebody, or do you? I mean, I can kind of tell someone that's following the Lord and some that's not. People get their angst up. I mean, their anger up very fast when you start talking about Christ, and the divisions continue. Let's follow Him daily. Let's follow the voice of the shepherd whenever we hear His voice. You've already followed Him in regeneration. Let's follow Him into a different pasture if He's calling us to a different pasture. Because it's going to be way better than the pasture that you're in now. We may be eating on nubby grass and satisfied with that. But if the Lord calls us, let's go into a different pasture where the grass is lush and full, because it's going to be better for us over there than it is where we're at now. I pray the Lord will bless you this week. Doors of church are open for those to follow Him in obedience. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.